Daily Traditionalist on Radio Aryan at RadioAryan.com.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Traditionalist. Today's date is Monday, the 30th of October, 2017. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks. I do apologise that this is going out a little bit late on our stream. We had plans today to interview somebody that was in the courthouse where Jez Turner was having his hearing for so-called hate speech. And his actual appearance was delayed somewhat, and he wasn't actually in court until just as the Daily Traditionalist was supposed to be going on air. So I had to delay recording the conversation, and this isn't actually going out live. Also, Matt Heimbach has been delayed in actually getting back from the White Lives Matter rally that went on Saturdays, because he was hoping to be here as well. So he was unable to be here, but I did manage to, as I say, get in touch with Captain from the chat room, people know him as, and we managed to interview him, and he also managed to get hold of Jez as well. So we've got a recording of Jez. For people that were unaware of what's actually going on, Jez Turner is being charged with hate speech for the speech that he gave at the anti-Shomrim rally 2 years back. This was actually a rally that Josh Bonehill arranged, and then Joshua Bonehill was arrested and put inside, and it looked like the rally wasn't going to go ahead. But Jez Turner took over and said that he would speak, and the rally got moved from Golders Green, which is where it was supposed to be. It was supposed to be at the Jewish colony that we have in London, and it was moved to right outside Westminster. And Jez gave his speech. This was 2 years ago, and the courts, or the Jews rather, that were there, said to the courts, this has got to be hate speech, you've got to prosecute him. But the Crown Prosecution Service said, no, you are not a victim in this case, and this isn't hate speech. And the Jews then, or this Jewish lobby group called the Campaign Against Anti-Semitism, they then went and pulled levers and scratched backs and greased palms with silver until the Crown Prosecution Service said, okay, we'll have a look at it again. And eventually they said, okay, we will take him to court again. They basically bowed to pressure. And today was the first day of him actually being in court. So we wanted to find out what went on, the number of people that were there, the general mood of the courthouse, what the enemy was like, all sorts of things that we managed to glean from our intrepid reporter, and also from Jez himself. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to play the recording of that conversation for you now.
Hello, Sven.
Hi, Jez. How are you doing? Can you hear me okay?
We had to move from Court 9 to Court 1 because there was no seats for Jews in the public gallery. We filled the public gallery with our supporters.
Brilliant.
So the Jews demanded they move to Court 1, which is a top court. So we went there, and went pretty well. The prosecution lawyer was a QC, which is top level, and he was a coloured gentleman. And he summed up, you know, the prosecution. And to be quite honest with you, he read out a lot of my speech, and it was almost as if he was on our side. You know, it was, you know, quite interesting. So basically, I've been granted bail, right, unconditional bail, so I can give interviews, give speeches, whatever I want to do, unconditional. And the judge agreed to that. And it's been moved to the Crown Court. So at the moment, it's a magistrate's court. That was today. They've decided it's more serious, too serious to deal with in a magistrate's court. So it's gone to a Crown Court, and it will be in Southwark Crown Court at 9:30 on the 27th of November. That'll be another hearing, just another hearing. Probably the full trial will be February time, March, April next year. We don't know. There'll be a hearing at Southwark Crown Court on the 27th of November, 9:30. Everyone's welcome. Smart dress. They asked whether I wanted to plead guilty or not guilty, and I replied, definitely not guilty. And that's where we are. But it was a success to fill the public gallery with our people, and that was a success. Yeah, the police were very impressed. The police who interviewed me after the Shomrim, anti-Shomrim speech, they interviewed me at Holborn Police Station about 6 months later. They came along in case they were needed, and you could tell they were impressed that there were so many supporters here for my cause. Before my case in court one, there was an ISIS terrorist being charged. So you can see what sort of, ISIS terrorist was there, an Islamic chap, Muslim, Asian chap was in court. His case finished and then my case began. So it was a very interesting day, very interesting. We're now going for some drinks, wine, women and song.
Excellent. Well, did they mention terrorism at all in line with your case?
Nothing to do with my speech, nothing to do with terrorism. Before we got to the court and I gave a speech outside court to my supporters, it was videoed. They have tried to send you the speech, but there are problems with the internet and various uploads and things. A young man has photographed the written version of my speech and sent you that. You're welcome to either put up the video or
This will be up in half an hour anyway. If there's anything that you want to say to people, say it now.
Well, folks, you know, we've got to spread the truth. That's what it's all about. Truth is on our side. And they will. They will imprison us. They will put us in prison. But think about it. The suffragettes were put in prison, and now they've got a statue being put up in Parliament Square. Prison is no big deal. It is, basically, let's face it, board and bedding free, no bills, no tax to pay, free dental care, and you don't even have to work, right? And anyone who is anybody at all has always spent time in prison. So it's no big deal, really.
It's some time to concentrate and achieve things. I mean, there are a lot of books have been written in prison. Bill Fink, when he was in prison, he translated the whole of the New Testament from the original Greek into English and learned how to study Greek. I know that Lawrence Burns has been doing a lot of writing while he's inside. And people I know that have been inside, they do a lot of bodybuilding. And, you know, it's time to take some time out and you know, sort of think about what you're doing and try to use that time to improve yourself, I think. You don't have to look at it in a negative way. I think you're looking at it in the right way there, Jez.
Like I say, political prisoners, there's a lot of us, and we're all ignored by the usual groups. So thanks to you and Radio Aaron for highlighting our plight. I'm not yet in prison, but highlighting those who are in prison.
Well, you're doing a great job of coordinating things, I think, and getting out the addresses so that people can write to the political prisoners and highlighting it. I mean, I'm very pleased that you've got unrestricted bail conditions so that you can still continue to speak and organise and do all the things that you do, because you're a very, very important person in the nationalist scene in Britain, I think. I mean, everything seems to revolve around you, which is why they've targeted you, because you're very good at nailing exactly what it is that we're fighting against. I mean, that speech that you gave at the Shomrim demonstration was a really good speech. It was highlighting what went on in the French Revolution, drawing a link between that and World War One and World War Two. And this is why they're so after you, is because you're so adept at explaining what the problem is, and nobody can argue against it. That's why they're having to say, oh, it's hate speech. Because they can't counteract the facts. Did this lawyer that was against you, did he look like he was thinking, well, these are facts, I can't counter these?
It all depends on the jury. I'm still at Crown Court where my case is going to be held. The hearing will be there and the trial eventually. It's a good area for us because there are still, in South East London, a few white working class communities left. Not everybody, not every white in London, our middle-class Guardian readers. There are a few white working class. So there's a good chance we may get people on the jury who are not swayed by the usual liberal argument. So, you know, we could look looking at a victory here. We could. We never know. I mean, expect the best and prepare for the worst. And if the worst happens, it happens, you know? No big deal. Well, okay, I'll say good night. Farewell. Okay. Wine, women, and song are beckoning me, so I have to go.
Hello, Sven.
Hello, Captain. Hello. How's your day been there then? Jez was saying that there's lots and lots of supporters for him, and the whole of Court One was filled up with you.
Yeah, that's it. They threw us out of the court in the end because we were standing. So we managed to get to another, or they managed to get to another Court One, which could accommodate us all, and it turned out very well. It's been a long day, obviously, because there's a lot of travelling for me, but it's worth it to see it. But everything seems under control legally, I know, but I was a bit surprised that Jez's defence didn't make more of a defence, really, and actually say that, you know, all we're talking about here is some hurt feelings. They were saying, I'll tell you one thing I did notice, they were describing the Shomrin police as Neighbourhood Watch. And quite frankly, Sven, if that's Neighbourhood Watch, it's on steroids, isn't it? You know.
Yeah, I don't know many Neighbourhood Watch that can dress up in police uniforms and drive around in police cars call themselves police.
So that's my famous quote. I should say to Jez now, it's Neighbourhood Watch on steroids.
Well, it's really good to know that so many people were there. I had a lot of people travelled from a long distance. I know you've travelled a long way. Yeah.
Free the world from Jewish control. The 8 words. We must free the world from Jewish control.
We certainly must. Yeah, we certainly must. And you're definitely doing a good job of highlighting that, I think.
Yeah, they were, do you know, they were creeping around and they did. They had that sort of, I don't know, it's like sci-fi. It was, you could feel them sucking the soul out of you, I thought. There was only about 4 of them there, I think.
This is the campaign against anti-Semitism that you're talking about. This Jewish lobby group that is responsible for this. I've heard this about them. That they're very sinister looking people. So they had a really bad vibe about them, did they?
Yeah, they did. They had their little skull caps on, and they had that sort of stooped. You know, if you saw a Jew portrayed in an old black and white film, you know, stooping over with long spindly fingers. That's what they were like. It was strange.
Do they have the hook noses as well?
Yeah, they had hook nose, hook fingers. And I just kept my hands in my pockets just in case, you know.
I think, you know, I mean, this is where these images come from our you know, our folk tales of the goblins and the, you know, the evil nasty things in the dark and the witches. And that's why they always have these big noses, and we used to make the Jews wear pointed hats. That's where the idea of the witch's pointed hat actually comes from these.
Well, it's
Jews.
Interesting because I don't really have much where I come from, obviously, dealings with it, other than seeing them or portrayed. But I did hear you say that on one of your podcasts. And you can see it. It's without doubt. That is the way it is. Good turnout, Sven. Anyway, you did well with it.
Yeah, I'm really pleased to hear that and to hear that he's got so many people that have turned up. And Jez was saying that there was some ISIS terrorist that was in court before him.
That was a bizarre thing. I mean, I don't know if he was or if he was just drunk and making stupid Twitter, but apparently he was looking up fertilizer and explosive cap, detonating caps or something on the internet and sending tweets out about, you know, well done to all the Islamic bombers and all the rest of it and supporting ISIS. And whether or not he's genuine or just an idiot, I don't know, but he certainly got himself in it deep now.
Well, it must have been interesting for you to see the way that the courts work. Were you able to sit in and watch that court case as well?
Because we were moved there, we all piled in. The judge told us off. The judge told us off for making too much racket. I didn't realise there was a trial going on, really. And then, you know, we sat down, kept quiet, and looked over. And sure enough, there's the bloody darky in the corner, muslin in the corner, getting his comeuppance, like, you know.
Well, it's good to know that they're actually being gone after as well as us. I mean, because if that's from them looking at his Twitter account and seeing that he's making these posts supporting ISIS, at least that shows that they are actually watching their Twitter accounts, because it does seem as if they're just picking on us, going after us for making tweets.
Yeah, you're right. At least they are going from as well.
I mean, they just had today in the news today is about how we've got 20,000 jihadis in the country. These are the known terrorists that we've got that have been out to Syria and have been killing people over there. And they're saying, well, what we need to do is now we need to reward them. We need to give them council houses and we need to give them jobs. I'm not joking. You know, it's like
we've got to bribe them into not being bombers now.
Yeah. Yeah. They're being rewarded for what they've done, basically. Yeah. They've been rewarded for killing people. And while that's going on, we've got Jez, who's being put in court for highlighting the fact that we've got this fake police force impersonating the police, which breaks all of our common law. And somehow they're allowed to do it. And they're allowed to claim that they are the victims. This is the thing. I mean, that was the point of his speech, was saying that the Jews say that they need this Shomrim police because they're victims of anti-Semitism. And what it really is that they have this Shomrim police because they've got so much power in our country. And, the fact that they are taking him to court, I mean, that just proves it, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It's absolute farcical. But I noticed that the prosecuting team or lawyer, whatever he was, kept using the word hate. He slipped it in several times. Hate speech all the time. Drumming up hatred, drumming up racism and all this sort of thing. Racial hatred. He didn't leave a sentence without it in, to be honest.
Well, the term hate speech, I mean, it doesn't actually appear in any of these laws or any of the Acts of Parliament. The word hate speech isn't in there. And this is just this modern buzzword that they've started using that really doesn't make a lot of sense.
It doesn't. And to be honest, there was, I would have thought once Jez, a lawyer, gets on it, where? Let's pin it down. If there's hate speech, where is it? There's only facts.
This is the thing. This is why it's so important to get a jury. I mean, at the moment, Alison Chablow's case is being heard by a magistrate, and this hearing was by a magistrate, and he's obviously putting it up to the Crown Court, and then it will be heard again. And eventually, because Jez is pleading not guilty, it will have to go before a jury. And then once the jury hears that these are actual facts, these are facts that he's been talking about. There's no lying in what he said. I think they're not going to have a leg to stand on, especially when they try and claim they're victims. Because when you look at that video of that speech, Jez is speaking there and he's got a line of police in front of him. And the police are there to protect Jez from being attacked by the mob of Jews. There's about 1,000 Jews there screaming for his blood.
Yeah.
And if anyone is a victim there, it's Jez. Otherwise, why did he have the police there to protect him? So then, and these Jews have already been told they're not victims. They said, don't we have victims' rights? We want to charge him for hate speech. And the Crown Prosecution Service said, you're not a victim. Sorry, but you're not a victim. You don't have victims' rights. So this group of Jews, the Campaign Against Anti-Semitism, they went away and started lobbying basically members of government and high up judges saying, you've got to take this guy to court. You can't let him off. You can't let him off. And this proves that they have this power behind the scenes, the very fact that they're able to get this heard in court. And they're boasting about it. They're boasting about the fact that they have Theresa May's ear, that they helped to write out the actual new anti-Semitism law that we have. You know, this group are boasting the fact that they were able to write this law. You know, this minority group has been able to write a law basically saying that no Gentiles can criticize them. And they are the ones that say whether it's anti-Semitic or not. That's what this new law says. We could say whatever we like. And if a Jew says, oh, that's anti-Semitic, even if you're actually being nice about Jews.
That's dumb.
Yeah. Yeah.
What they've done is they've introduced the, they've introduced that Holocaust denial type law that's prevalent in Europe, they couldn't do it here, so they've done it through the back door. They've done it by just saying, well, you can hurt your feelings then in that case. Same thing.
Oh, that's it. That's it. You've hit the nail on the head there. I mean, they've got laws that are specifically outlawing researching World War II or saying anything different to the Nuremberg trials in Europe, but they couldn't bring that law in Britain. So they've had to try and get all these ways around it.
They worked it in the back door. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's staggering. But anyway, Jess seems really upbeat.
Yeah, I could see that. I could hear that. I mean, because he was preparing to be for being remanded, because that's what's happened to some of the other young nationalists. So Jack Renshaw.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? It is clearly a show trial, and look, you just said then we've got too many people in jail already. You know, there's the chap Boonhill and all those others that are in jail at this minute.
And we should.
It seems to me they're just. They seem to be aware that there's a rising call from a nationalist group, with the forums and everything, and obviously yourself, because you've been. And I think what they're doing is they're trying to crack the nut as hard as they can, as early as they can.
Well, they're doing is drawing attention to it. And I think if we can get a precedent, I mean, if we get a jury trial and they find that he's innocent, we've got a precedent then. We've got a precedent that if it's facts,
they're playing a dangerous game.
They can't. I think this is why, the Crown Prosecution Service said that they didn't want to prosecute Jez. And they said they didn't want to prosecute Alison Chablot. And there's a reason why they didn't want to prosecute them. And yet this Jewish lobby group has said, we don't care. We know better than the Crown Prosecution Service. Which I don't think is going to, I don't think that's going to sit very well with these judges.
Well, I certainly hope not. I hope they can see it. They're shooting themselves in the foot because, like you say, the CPS didn't want to take it on, because once they do, and if they lose, they that's it. You know, there's nowhere for them to go, is there, really?
No. Well, this is it, because we'll have a precedent then, and we'll be able to say, look, because this is the way our courts work. This is the way our common law works. When you have your jury trial, precedents get set. You know, they hear a case and they talk about the laws and the cases that have gone on before, and the jury decide whether it's innocent or guilty. And if he's found innocent, then the reasoning for that is put down and that's on the record. And then you can say, well, hang on a minute. It was found in court that if you are speaking the truth and you're actually speaking facts, that's not hate speech. There is no victim.
Yeah.
These are facts.
Yeah.
And we've got that precedent then.
I mean, it's key now, isn't it, really, that this current court trial, it really is key for us. So
I was going to say, the fact is, Jez is very articulate and he's very good at arguing his case. And I think Alison Chablot is as well. And I think that's a reason why they didn't really want to go after them, because they know that, when he's on the... when he's in the box and he's actually giving his statement to the jury, he's going to sound, he's going to sound very, very believable, and people are going to sympathize with him. They would far rather go after people that aren't able to articulate their views and back their views up with facts and figures. They would far rather go after an 18 or 19 year old, who's said silly things on Twitter. Not somebody that can give a 20-minute speech and detail, everything that the Jews have done in this country for the last 1,000 years. That's definitely not somebody that they want speaking in court, because everything that gets said in court goes down on the record as well. So whatever Jez says is going to be transcribed and put on the record when it finally gets to it. So of course they don't want him there. But these Jews, they're so confident of the power that they have. They're so confident that they think that they'll be able to win the case. It's hubris, chutzpah.
Yeah, of course. The other thing is, you don't know what the judges... Yeah, because it must come into it, a judge's personal sort of thought must come into their decision making to a degree. It has to, doesn't it? You know, they're only human after all.
Well, a lot of them are friends of Israel.
Judge,
Captain, a lot of them are friends with friends of Israel. They're members of the Conservative Friends of Israel or the Labour Friends of Israel, or they're they go to dinners with the Board of Jewish Deputies and all these various Israeli advocacy groups and Jewish advocacy groups. And a lot of these judges are involved in that. And if you can show that the judge is involved in that, then he has to recuse himself. I mean, you can't judge in your own case.
Yeah, so that's what happened. They have to recuse, don't they, then? Keep it going.
That's what happened with Alison Chaplow. As one judge has already had to be dropped because the judge was involved in these Jewish advocacy groups. And so many of them are. And I bet this campaign for anti-Semitism, I bet they're hoping that the judge is, in Jesse's case, is actually going to be Jewish. But then how can you have a Jew judging in a case where the victims are supposed to be Jews?
Yeah, they've got a dog in the fight, haven't they?
And also, you know, when we have a jury, it's supposed to be 12 of your peers, and your peers means people like you, friends of yours. So again, the jury shouldn't have any Jews in it. It shouldn't have any minorities in it. It should be just made up of white people. And you could argue that, I think. I don't know that anybody has, but I think you could argue that.
I think it does pay to stand your ground on that type of thing, Ben, because the more you argue against the particular judges or jurists, the more the ones that are left to actually try the case, the more they have to be aware of their conduct and behaviour and decisions, don't they?
Definitely. You
know, they then know that they can't be seen to be biased.
Captain, thank you very much for doing this for us. Thank you very much for coming on and getting hold of Jase for us.
All right, then, Sven. I'll catch you later.
Okay, you've just been listening to Captain at Westminster Magistrates Court, or actually just leaving there with the supporters for Jez Turner, who's been in court today. We're very thankful for him for arranging so that he could get in touch with me, arranging so that I could call him up and we could record this so that we could put it out. And we do apologise that it's going out a little bit later than the usual daily traditionalist. Hopefully, we'll have Matthew Heimbach back with us tomorrow, and he'll be able to tell us exactly what's been going on since the White Lives Matter march that went on over the weekend. And we're also discussing that in SS Britannia, which will be on Radio Aryan later on today. So thank you very much for listening. We look forward to having Matt back tomorrow. So until then, hail victory.
Listening to the Daily Traditionalist on Radio Aryan.